Good morning, everyone. We return to a story that broke over the weekend. Al-Qaeda released a video. American-born cleric Anwar al-Awlaki called for the death of Americans on this video, claimed both the Fort Hood shooter and the Christmas Day bomber as his students. Times Square bomber Faisal Shahzad has also reportedly told authorities that he was inspired by the cleric's online sermons. Yesterday, we spoke about the significance of this video because it was an al-Qaeda video, which sort of suggests that Anwar al-Awlaki, American-born Yemeni cleric who teaches and sends videos from Yemen, is now fully allied with al-Qaeda. But who is this man? We wanted to talk about, first of all, the individual who has earned himself a death warrant from the CIA. The CIA reportedly has, as we've reported in the newscast, special ops forces on the ground in Yemen, possibly investigating where Anwar al-Awlaki is. 100 CDs or more than 100 CDs of lectures and readings are reportedly still widely available around the United States. So we decided to send takeaway producer Noel King, who you heard from a moment ago, out to some Islamic communities here in the New York area to see if she could find any evidence of Anwar al-Awlaki, evidence of those CDs, just a sense of his profile in these communities. Noel, what did you find?
Well, I traveled to this strip of half a dozen Islamic bookstores and one Islamic school, and I went around and I asked owners and customers, have you heard of this man, and can I get his earlier, more innocuous CDs here?
And you didn't attempt to disguise yourself in any sense? You openly said that you were a journalist?
For the first six, in the bookshops I did, and in the school the story was a little bit different, and I'll tell you about that in a second, but in the bookshops, the first five responses were very much, we have not heard of this man, or we've heard of him, but we don't carry his CDs, and would you please leave now? So it's a very suspicious response.
A very suspicious response. All right, listen to this bookshop employee. This is the House of Knowledge bookstore on Atlantic Avenue.
No, I mean, how are we going to propagate misguidance? I mean, I'm a Muslim. How are we going to call people to what is evil? No, it's impossible. I mean, if you're going to question me and question and question, that is impossible. We do not propagate evil, and we don't call people to the evil.
Now, he wouldn't give you his name, but he sounds a little angry.
He was very angry, and as a matter of fact, he went on for a couple of minutes about how I shouldn't even bring up Awlaki's name in his shop, and then he came out from behind the counter, and he handed me a CD of his own.
All right, and this is a tape, a CD, available at the House of Knowledge, and here you're about to hear the voice of another cleric.
And they put out verdicts, fatwas, like we hear from the likes of this Awlaki, this ignorant individual, Ikhwan, putting out fatwas and verdicts amongst the people. Look what he says, Ikhwan, this individual Awlaki, that the jihad is going to start in the Arabian Peninsula.
This individual, Ikhwan, the Arabic word for brother, Awlaki, is how he's pronouncing it. Very critical of Awlaki, and apparently there are videos made to confront Awlaki's message.
That's exactly right. And I called the producers of this particular CD and I said, tell me what the point is. And they said, this is a New Jersey imam who has made it sort of a calling to disavow what Awlaki says.
Now, did you get a sense that people didn't know about this man, or that they were putting on a performance for you, thinking that possibly as a member of the media that it was really important for them to behave in a certain way?
There was an aspect of performance, and I'll tell you why. In my view, I went to an Islamic school. There were three men sitting in the lobby. This is not a children's school. And I didn't identify myself right away as a journalist. I made small talk. I asked about Awlaki. One of the men said to me, you know, he wasn't always like this. He's changed over the years. He wasn't always radical. When I did identify myself as a journalist, though, the third man said to me, you should not be here. You need to leave now.
All right. Well, joining us now is Azim Khan, Assistant Secretary General at the Islamic Circle of North America, a grassroots organization here in the New York area. Good morning, Azim Khan.
Good morning.
What can you say about the awareness that people have of Anwar al-Awlaki?
Well, on the national level, he really came on the scene, not physically, but through the medium of audio CDs and MP3s, and that's really how we've gotten to know him. And I actually own some of his earlier works, and those are quite benign. I've been through the majority of the material, and there's nothing in there that isn't in line with basic Islamic texts.
Azim, let's give people an example. Here is some of his work that I suspect is exactly what you're thinking about here. Listen.
They do not understand the reality of dunya and akhirah. They do not understand the wisdom behind jihad fi sabilillah. They do not understand the importance of sacrifice.
They just don't get it.
So there's Anwar al-Awlaki sort of generally preaching to Muslims in America, right?
Right. And that's really how everyone knew him, because he would base his works off of well-known Islamic texts, and he would focus on history and theology and those type of things. People really promoted his work because it was a good way to learn about things such as the lives of the prophets, historical figures such as Prophet Muhammad. So his work was quite basic when it came to the subject matter that he was covering.
So what changed and why? And I'm wondering if within the Muslim community in the New York area or around the country, there is a pathway that is understood. If you go down that road, you'll end up like al-Awlaki.
Well, he was in prison in Yemen in 2006, 2007. We're really not sure as to why he was imprisoned, but the community believes that he was radicalized while he was in prison.
And what do you make of the CIA and the U.S. government's attempt to actually take him into custody? And we understand he's on essentially a hit list.
Right. I was listening to a program, an in-depth program from NPR on U.S. targeted killings, and I really have mixed feelings about it. I think it's, for American citizens, for them to have due process, it would be better. It's ironic that we're discussing Miranda rights for, people who are captured here. But for American citizens overseas, there's like a death warrant. So I think it would be better if he could be captured, and if they want to charge him with treason or anything like that, they can try him in court and, do it in a more civilized way rather than just trying to take him out with a missile or something.
Well, Azim Khan, Assistant Secretary General at the Islamic Circle of North America, you've given us a sense of the debate within your community about Anwar al-Awlaki. Thanks so much for joining us. Noel King, before we go, what surprised you the most in the last few seconds about the meetings that you had yesterday?
I think that there was a sense that if I had gone with a member of New York's Muslim community, that the response I would have gotten would not necessarily have been tremendously different, but there would have been more information given.
But I was intrigued by how much sort of pushback on al-Awlaki was there, both in the people you met and the CDs that you got.
Absolutely.
Noel King, Takeaway producer, investigating Anwar al-Awlaki here in the New York area.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.